Thank you, Gene. I wish I could play like that. I feel a little self-conscious tonight, so I'm going to see if I can get some of your sympathy. I feel like I might have preached too long last Sunday, and from comments that some folks have made. So because I was talking to Edith Ricker, and she said something about it, and I said, "You mess with me, and I'll preach an hour tonight." And I was, and Brother Savannah, well, Kyle Waddell walked up to me, and he was kind of pleading with me. He said, "Brother Ralph," he said, "would you just please put some shortening in it tonight?" He said, "I'm in the nursery," so he was pleading for mercy. And Brother Savine heard us talking, and he said, "Well, Ralph," he said, "I'll pray for you for 30 minutes, and after that, you're on your own." So I'm going to try to watch the clock tonight. I'm not going to be too concerned about it, but I'm going to watch it and make sure it don't fall off the wall. All right. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me, if you will, to the first chapter of the book of James. Let's go back to where we were reading last week, last Sunday night, and pick up there. In James chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, Bible says, "James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren," he's writing to believers now. Keep that in mind. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Or let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." I mentioned last week that this passage in James, in it, James gives us four key words that help us to measure spiritual maturity. First, he says, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Then he says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And then he says, "Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And then he says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." I want to go back to that second verse just for a minute tonight, because it is here that James says, "Count it all joy." He gives us the first word that will help us to measure our spiritual maturity. He says, "Count it all joy," or pure joy, when you face times, face trials of many kinds. Notice there in the King James Version, he uses the word temptation. Count it all joy when you fall into divers or many kinds of temptations. This word comes from a Greek word, parasmos. Now, I'm not going to throw you some Greek words to impress you. I want to try to help you understand what this word temptation means. Because you could get you a Strong's Concordance and look these words up and learn the same things that I'm giving you. But the Greek word that is used there, that's translated in the King James, temptations, means to put to the test, to prove by adversity. And the desired result of that putting to the test or proving by adversity is that we may grow stronger and that our lives may be purer. So he's saying here, count it all joy when your faith is put to the test. Like a young bird who is trying or is testing its wings for the first time. Or like the Queen of Sheba when she came to test the wisdom of Solomon and found that only the half had ever been told. This testing is like when God used the Canaanites who were left in the promised land when they conquered and occupied the promised land. It's the way God used them to test the Israelites and to prove them and to bring out the best in their lives. So every Christian should expect to be confronted or tested by trials. That's a given. Every believer should expect to be put to the test by trials. When you think that you have seen it all, and that it's going to be easy from here on out because you've seen it all. And I've gotten to that place a few times when I thought I'd seen about everything. Look out, because you ain't seen nothing yet. There's never a dull moment for the believer, for the growing Christian. Sorrows, disappointments, losses, danger, sacrifice, all those things will test your faith. Not to make you fail, but to help you to rise above those circumstances in life. Not to defeat us, but to make us more than conquerors, or super conquerors through Him that loved us. Not to weaken us, but to make us stronger. So, since that is the case, we don't need to whine and complain when tests and trials come our way. In fact, I think we ought to, as believers, be encouraged, that we ought to rejoice in them, because God wants to build faith and character into our lives. He wants to give us a greater determination. And so He is putting our faith to the test through the tests, through the trials of life. It's kind of like we ought to be thankful, like an athlete who is working out and his physical coach challenges him by putting more weight on the bar. That's what God is doing in our life. When those tests and trials come into our life, every difficult Every difficulty and every challenge is an opportunity for you and I to climb higher as a believer. I was thinking today about an old familiar song that says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That ought to be our prayer. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That ought to be the prayer of every believer. So we ought not to resent trials and tests that come into our life. We ought not to be afraid of them either, because God's not going to desert us when those tests and trials come. I want you to notice the third verse. James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now let's look at that word trying. What does it mean? It comes again from a Greek word, dokimion, and it is translated in the King James trying. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It means a testing of trustworthiness. It means it's a word that is used for testing precious metals like gold or silver in order to determine their value, their true value, and the unmixed purity of it all. A testing of trustworthiness. A word that it's used for testing metal. There's another song that I was thinking of. I'm getting old, I guess. I think about songs a lot when I'm reading scripture. And it was written by Stuart Hamlin, sung by people like Johnny Cash over the years. And it says, these things shall pass, and life grow sweeter. These trials will pass, and life grow sweeter. We'll look back and smile at heartaches we have known. So don't forget, when sorrows gather, the Lord our God is still the King upon the throne. A rose looks gray at midnight, but the flame is just asleep. And steel isn't strong until it's known the hammer and white heat. So James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's another word that we need to understand, patience. It comes from a Greek word, hupomone, and it means to be cheerful and hopeful. It means to have endurance and constancy, and to be unchanging, to have patience to be patient, to have patient continuance. That means to learn to wait on God and not panic and wait to see what God's purpose is. It means a firmness of mind, our purpose, a resoluteness, a steadiness of affections, our loyalties, of faithfulness, of freedom from variation or change, stability. That's what patience means. And so he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Knowing. What do we know? What's he saying? He's saying that we need to have an understanding mind, a discerning mind of what God is doing. We need to make sure that we're familiar enough with the Word of God and the ways of God to be aware of how God is working in our life and what He is trying to accomplish in our life, and always look for that purpose that God has in the trials that we face. We need to have patience to do that. And that is a clear mark of maturity for a believer. So, what do we know? What do we know that makes it easier for us to face trials and to benefit from the trials that come, that are going to come into every one of our lives? Three things that we know. Number one, faith is always tested. Not part of the time, but all the time. Faith is always tested. Your faith is always going to be tested to see how strong it is. In Genesis chapter 22, we have the story of the testing of Abraham's faith. A man who believed God, and God counted it unto him for righteousness. And there came a time in Abraham's life after he had walked with God for a long period of time, and after he had come to know God in many ways, that God spoke to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, Isaac, your only begotten son. He called him his only begotten son. He had another son, Ishmael, but Isaac was the son of promise that God had promised him. And he said, I want you to take your only son and climb Mount Moriah. And there I'll show you, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me. And we are told that Abraham took Isaac and started out on this journey that God had commanded him to take. And you know the story of how when Abraham came to the point of taking the life of his son in obedience to God, that God stopped him and provided a lamb in his place for the sacrifice. And he said, Abraham, I don't want you to do it. Now I know that you believe me. Now I know that you are willing to trust me. So even Abraham's faith was tested, as your faith is and mine is going to be. Life is going to test your mettle, my friend. It's going to test what kind of person you are and what kind of trust you have in Almighty God. You're going to face circumstances and situations that the only way you'll be able to stand, the only way you'll be able to persevere and press on is by trusting God. It's going to test your mettle. Faith is always tested. God tests us to bring out the best in us. It's going to test us to see if if what we say we really believe. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." And so God tests us to bring out the best in us. Satan tests us to bring out the worst. Number two, testing is for us and not against us. God never tests us because he wants to do harm to us. He never tests us to defeat us. He never allows tests to come into our life for the purpose of defeating us. But testing is for us, always for us and not against us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, testing is always for us and not against us. This same word here is used to describe what takes place when a prospector after gold finds what he thinks is pure gold. He takes it to the assayer, and the assayer tests that gold or that nugget to determine what quality of gold it is or how valuable it might be. And the scripture teaches us that God allows testing in our life for that same purpose. It's for our good. God's approval of our faith is a very, very precious thing. It assures us that our faith is genuine. You know, when Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, he did not know whether his faith was strong enough or not. And many of the tests that comes into my life and yours is for the purpose of revealing to us how strong our faith is, as well as to strengthening our faith. So God's approval of our faith is priceless. It assures us that our faith is genuine, that it is strong. Trials work for the believer and not against the believer. It's an opportunity for you and I to bring honor and glory to God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose." How many of you here tonight really believe that? I mean, I really believe that passage of Scripture. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. You know, it comes down to that many times. Do we really believe God? Do we really believe his word? Or are we just saying that we do? Are we just hoping that we do? Well, God allows these tests to come into our life to make our faith stronger, so when the next test comes, we'll have some experience to go on that God has strengthened our faith in the tests that we've faced in the past. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." The light affliction, he calls it. is just for a moment, and it works for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. And then the next verse he goes on and says, "For we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen." That's one of the reasons for tests, to help us to look at the things that are unseen and not just things that we can see, feel, and touch, because he goes on to explain that which those things which we see are only temporary, but that which we cannot see, that is eternal. And that's what we need to learn to focus on, that which is eternal. Isaiah 48 and verse 10 says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Now that doesn't sound too pleasant, does it? I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Every one of us would like for our faith to grow in an easy way. We'd like to get off easy, wouldn't we? Nod your little head, you know it's true. We'd all like to get off easy, but God is saying, no, the only way your faith is going to grow to the point that you can really do something for God and you can make it through the tests of life is in the furnace of affliction. It's going to be difficult. But remember, testing is for us and not against us. Number three. I got 5 minutes. I'm hurrying. Trials are meant to help us mature. Trials are meant to help us mature. What does God want trials to produce? Patience. He names it here. He says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire." God wants to bring about patience and endurance. The ability to keep going when the going gets tough. I think it's an embarrassment to the kingdom of God when believers face some trial in their life and they want to whine and give up. When the going gets tough, the believer who has walked with God and who is maturing as a Christian is going to realize that God is going to do an even greater work in their life and make them stronger than they've ever been before. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 and verse 4, Paul says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation." Isn't that a strange statement? "We glory in tribulation also, knowing," there's that word again, "knowing that tribulation worketh," what? "Patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope." So God wants to accomplish something in your life that, and my life, that cannot be accomplished in any other way than through trials, through tests, through struggles in life. Impatience is a clear mark of immaturity. Let me say it again. Impatience is a clear mark of immaturity as a believer, and patience is a mark of maturity in a believer's life. Patience to keep on trusting God even when things look difficult and look like they're going south on us. To keep on trusting God and be patient until God does His work in us. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says that you be not slothful, in other words, lazy. Don't be lazy. I can't stand a lazy Christian. My mother always said, I can't stand a person who lies or is lazy. Bible says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. And then in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Patience is key to every blessing of God. Abraham was impatient. That's why he took Hagar as a wife, and Ishmael was born, and as the premillennialist brethren say, they've had problems ever since. Moses became impatient with God to the point that he took matters in his own hand and took the life of the Egyptian. You remember the story? And then he had to spend 40 years on the backside of the desert taking care of sheep to learn patience. Patience is key to every blessing of God. And there is only one way that God can develop patience and faith and character and maturity in us. And that's through trials. Only one way. Through trials. Not reading. I love the Bible. But reading the Bible doesn't teach me patience. Trials do. Praying is not going to get you patience. Trials are going to get you patience. Listening to sermons is not going to help you develop patience in your life unless I preach for 2 hours tonight. Only trials. I'm trying to put you through a trial tonight to help your patience to grow. Knowing this, James said, knowing this, then we can face trials. We can face suffering joyfully because we know God has a purpose for our good. And remember this, Satan can and will defeat every ignorant believer. There is such a dearth today in our world of professing Christians who are illiterate when it comes to the Word of God. And Satan can defeat every ignorant believer. That's why it's so important that we know this book. But he cannot defeat one who knows the Word of God, who knows the Bible and understands God's purpose for their lives. You know, you and I can't control everything. But we can trust the only one who can control everything. Rather than, I don't know about you, but I get a little bit fed up with these people who spend all of their time sitting in front of the TV watching Fox News. Now, I don't have much patience there. And then all they do is talk about it. They yap about it, and yap about it, and yap about what they heard on Fox News. I got news for you. Rather than rehearse the chaos of the world, we need to learn to rejoice in the sovereignty of God. He's in control. God's answer for the troublesome times that you and I live in is always the same. Heaven has an occupied throne. And God is sovereign over all things. Allow Him to build your faith and patience and help you mature as a believer so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Will you stand with us?